This week we're going to be talking about impossible words, and we're going to be looking at John 6 and the crowd's reaction to Jesus' words about matters of eternity. And they said it was difficult, and we know unless God is involved in it, it's impossible. And there was a lot of conflict with the crowd as Jesus was addressing them at a synagogue in Capernaum, because they were more interested in getting bread, just like he had done in a feeding of the 5,000. We know if there was 5,000 men, there must have been, without all the crowd, there must have been 15,000 to 20,000. So we could say with the feeding of the 15,000, that they were saying, he did this miracle once, we want some more of this bread. And he was saying over and over again, I am the bread of life. And so there was a lot of conflict between this physical orientation and Jesus trying to get them focused on spiritual orientation. And physical focus can be like a car's entertainment system. And you have the touch screen, you have the internet access, you have the DVD player, you have the video games, you have the music, and none of it is necessarily bad. But it's when life gets filled with these temporary activities and you don't realize that you're actually moving down the road of life. And if you're paying too much attention to the entertainment system of life, you can be 40, 60, 80 years, and even at the end of life, down the road of life, without ever asking and answering those questions of eternity. And so this is the conflict that Jesus had. Now, we're going to be translating bread from then, that physical orientation, to our orientations that we can have today. And certainly a lot of people like bread, but I think there's a lot more distractions nowadays than there was obviously 2,000 years ago. Well, I want to start out, and I wrote this down in 2011, and this is the entertainment system, the distractions of life that the Currys had in 2011, and this is a picture of us of everybody but me in 2011. And so this kind of gives you an orientation of the age of our kids. And so here is the entertainment system of our lives and the distractions of life. Dental checkup, cleaning, cavity, braces, crowns. We need new engine mounts for our Toyota Camry. I need $10 for lunch, Dad. The one getting braces also needs her wisdom teeth out. Pay for mortgage, Verizon Wireless, taxes, TV, phone, and internet, energy, Harris County water and sewer, car loan, Kohl's card, Visa card, CenterPoint Energy, class ring, how much are those things? Birthday party, $270 to rent laser tag, something at our house could be fun as well. Do you know where Amanda's birth certificate is? Rob's temporarily dental crown falls out. It only hurts when I eat, drink, or breathe. Have you seen the remote control? It's probably next to Amanda's birth certificate. I'm letting you off with a warning, sir. Jury duty. Can you pick up my prescription? We're out of milk. Son's banquet, daughter's concert, youngest daughter's recital. Get support letters out. Turn off the lights when you leave a room. You have 5 towels on your floor. Put your cereal bowl in the sink. I called you down here 15 minutes ago. The shower water has been running for 40 minutes. A McFlurry doesn't count as a lunch. I need a ride to fill in 15 different locations. I don't feel well. You have to clean your room before she comes over. You can't spend the whole summer playing video games. Driver's permit. Parking lot driving lessons. Dear Jesus, I'm coming home. Happy Mother's Day. A vase. Thanks. I can't handle watching while you were sleeping one more time. You have to tell me what you want for your birthday or you'll get another vase. Money, parenting, exercise, sleep, eat right. A screw in my back tire. We have ants, Terminex. We still have ants, Terminex. The cord to the iron is getting really hot. The garage door isn't going down. The printer won't work. The internet isn't working. And finally, ringing out over years of time, can we get a puppy? And so none of these things are necessarily bad. They're all kind of the part of life. They're a wonderful part of life with the right worldview. With the wrong worldview, That kind of stuff of life can become a distraction from what really matters. It's an entertainment system. It gets us preoccupied as we go down the road of life, and again, without asking eternal questions. And we can see our context, and we're going to be looking at John 6. You can turn to it in your Bibles. We're going to have it up on the screen, as we often do. And you can see it as kind of a funnel, where there is this general conversation, where there's this cycle of dialogue between Jesus and the crowd that's in Capernaum at the synagogue. Basically, they're saying, we want more physical bread, like the bread you did and when you fed all those people. Jesus is saying, I am the bread of life. You need me for eternal life. And then they said, but wait a sec, we have ancestry. Do you remember back when Moses provided manna from heaven to Israel? We want that kind of a bread. Jesus said, I am the bread from heaven, just like the manna that you had, except I provide not life, but eternal life. And then in verses 51 to 57, Jesus gets very graphic. And it's almost words that are hard to take that he's saying. But he's basically saying, I am the bread of life, and you need to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Very graphic. And he's not talking about cannibalism, and he's not talking about some new way to do communion. But he was actually talking that I am the bread of life. I don't represent life. I don't give just bread for physical things, but I actually am the bread of life for eternity. And it was about him, and it involved his death. And finally, in verse 58, there's this culmination where Jesus reemphasizes that he is the bread of life. And you have to understand this context in order to understand the reaction that the crowd has to these words. And Jesus said, here's his summary statement after saying all those things. So they're saying, we want the bread. He's saying, I am the bread of life. We want the manna like Moses had. We want, I am the manna coming out of heaven. And finally, he says, this is the bread which came down out of heaven. Not as the fathers ate and died, he who eats this bread will live forever. Which brings us up to verse 60. And then it says that, therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, they're saying, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? We could almost say this is an impossible statement. Now, it's talking many of his disciples. You got to understand that there were large crowds that were referred to as his disciples. They were following him around for noble or for poor reasons, but they were followers of Jesus. So it wasn't necessarily the 12 apostles that he was saying were saying these things. But Jesus then says, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, he said to them, does this cause you to stumble? And that Greek word there is actually the word scandalon. And it's the word that we get for scandal. And basically, his words that he was the bread of life, that he was the one coming out of heaven, were scandalous to them. And it was causing a public outrage. Because they're saying, he came out of heaven. He's claiming that he did not have any, he was not conceived and then came into existence. He's saying that he existed before he even came out of heaven. And they're saying, in the context, he's saying, wait, this is Mary and Joseph's boy. Why is he claiming to be existing before his birth? And so this was a lot of scandal. We see the same Greek word in 1 Corinthians 1:23. It says, but we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block, and to the Gentiles foolishness. This word stumbling block is the word scandalon. It was scandalous to preach Christ crucified. And so they had this reaction. And with these scandalous words that they said, these are impossible, basically impossible to take these words, they had missed four things. The first one is this. They had missed the evidence. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. And so Jesus is referring to something that's repeated over and over and again in Scripture, that Jesus spoke and the apostles spoke and the Lord came behind them with signs and wonders and miracles, and that was actually something that confirmed their words. because there were a lot of nuts walking around there saying, I am the Christ, or we found the Christ, follow after me. But these miracles that Jesus was doing was authenticating who he was. And so as he healed the sick, as he healed the blind, as he did this miracle with the bread, he was actually not just providing food, he was actually providing evidence that he was the Christ, that he was the Messiah. And they had missed the evidence. They went from saying, hey, this guy actually did a miracle and fed all these people. There's something special about him, and we have a tendency to think that he is actually God. They went from that and they said, well, we'll just take the physical bread. We'll just take the bread. The second thing they missed was they missed Jesus' deity. They missed that he was God. He said, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And so this is actually him saying, I existed before my conception. I existed before my birth. And they had missed that. They went right past the statement, and they had avoided saying those words of Jesus is God. The next thing that they missed was they missed salvation. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. And basically, in other words, he's saying, he who believes in me has eternal life. Well, if you do not believe in Jesus, the equation goes, you do not have salvation. You do not have eternal life. And finally, they missed that Jesus altogether. He said that I am the bread of life. This is the first of seven I am statements of Jesus where he claims to be God, and he says, I am the gate. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And here he's saying, I am the bread of life. He is actually claiming to be God through these statements. And so they missed Jesus altogether. They said, we want the bread over here. Give us this bread to eat. And Jesus was saying, I am the bread. And then here's a key verse. And a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him any longer. I'm sure many of you will know relatives, neighbors, coworkers who have a history of going to church maybe, or a history of faith in Christ, or a history of one, you know, at least observing Christ. And then they have a history, and then a present tense of saying, you know what, we no longer believe, and they're no longer walking with Jesus. There are people in my life who the words became so difficult that they're no longer walking with Jesus of what he truly demands of anybody with their life. And so when they faced eternal questions, many went back to the entertainment systems of their lives. And they did have somewhere to go. You got to understand that when you turn away from Jesus, back then they had somewhere to go. And present tense, when people turn away from Jesus, they do have somewhere to go. They go back to their job, focus on their family, focus on their joys, focus on the hassles of life, focus on their vices and their addictions. And again, preoccupies them and distracts them from the key questions of life. However short or long the journey of life is, it distracts them from asking those hard questions throughout life. Julie and I had dinner out with some parents of my youngest daughter last week, and we went to a restaurant together. There was probably about 12 of us sitting in a room having dinner together. And as I reflect back on the conversations that we had, again, emphasizing this entertainment systems of life, nothing they said was terribly bad except for the fact that it distracted them and it preoccupied them, and it can do so without having people ask those ultimate questions in life. And so they were talking about their jobs, they were talking about vacation, talking about kids in sports, sending their kids back to school, kids going off to college, the convenience of a cell phone, eating, drinking, knowing of a great ice cream parlor, a great restaurant, my kid was injured in a sport, is this a concussion? And then you throw in some college and pro sports, politics, social media, hassles, worry, a house renovation, and some Amazon shipments, and you have a full life away from Jesus. Nothing is bad in and of itself, but again, what it does is it gets you focused on that entertainment system of life, and as you travel down over the years and the years, never fully asking and answering those questions of life. And so back to our story, Jesus said to the 12, Jesus probably was expressing hurt here, and he was saying to the 12, you do not wish to go away also. So Jesus said these hard words, and a lot of the crowd said, you know what, little too rough for us, we're heading out of here. And Jesus turned to the 12 apostles, and he said, you don't want to go away also, do you? And here is a key statement that has really stuck with me through the years. Peter answered Jesus and said to him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. And Peter was acknowledging, Peter himself had a wife and probably a family. And so he could say, you know what? I think I'm going to go with them. I'm going to go back to the distractions of life. But he basically said to Jesus, yeah, without you, Jesus, we got nothing. And so some in the crowd had actually asked the eternal questions of life, and they said, you know what? We have nothing. And maybe some of you, maybe some, most, or all of us have asked those eternal questions of life and have said, you know what? Without Jesus, we got nothing. And so how does this, as we think of trying to reach our community, trying to reach our neighborhoods, maybe trying to reclaim family members for Christ, how's this perspective happen where they're actually saying, you know what, without Jesus, we got nothing? And it really is, depends on the Lord. And verse 63, Jesus says, it is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. And Jesus is basically saying, how do people come to a saving faith in me? It's got to be through the Spirit. It's got to be through God. Earlier in verse 44, he said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And so it's going to be the work of God in their lives that he's going to wake people up to their need for the Lord Jesus. And so when you think about the words of Jesus saying, you want bread, I am the bread of life. Okay? In today's society, you want meaning to life? Do you want eternity with me? Well, you have to turn to me. And those impossible words, people turn away and they look at the entertainment systems of their life and they say, this is much bigger to me than these questions that involve Jesus and eternity. And so we have to depend on the Lord to open people's eyes that there's more to life than these entertainment systems. And how do we do that? Well, we have to actually envision that we do care about people coming to the Lord Jesus. And the second thing is we have to say, you know what? We will work. We talked last week about working hand in glove with the Lord. It seems that he loves to partner with his people as they pray and as they work. But ultimately we say, if there's going to be people who will come into these walls of this church and will overcome these impossible words and will actually grab onto them, the claims of Jesus, then it's going to take a great work of God. And guess what we have to do? We have to pray. And we talked last week about fervent prayer. And there is prayer about, yeah, Lord, you know, thanks for the food. And by the way, we pray for the church. And then there is the prayer of, Lord, we are coming before you and we are praying for the souls of our community and those around us. And we are going to depend on you to actually bring the change and bring the people that need to know the Lord Jesus. It's much more than just a casual prayer. It is a fervent prayer for them. And to see Jesus as salvation and the way to salvation. Again, it's not in a vacuum. But you have all these things kind of surrounding people all day long, all day long. Even the cell phone itself is a major distraction from ever thinking about the things of eternity. And so, Lord, we want you to overcome these distractions. We want people to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to come into the life of the church. And it's going to take absolutely, absolutely you doing this.